This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You can now relive the best moments of the UEFA Champions League 24/7. The UEFA Champions League channel is a new 24-hour streaming channel serving nonstop goals, highlights, and full match replays from the world's most prestigious club competition. Reminisce on your favorite moments, legendary players, and brilliant goals with the UEFA Champions League channel streaming around the clock on Pluto TV and the CBS Sports app.
Hello and welcome back to the Wildcat Scoop podcast after almost midnight. I'm your host, Shelby Shear, here with...
Jason Shear.
And we're here to recap Arizona's game against Oregon State. Arizona did wind up losing. 83-80 was the final score. Last second buzzer three there. That was super fun. you can tell where this podcast is going to go. Before we begin, we have a message from our sponsor. Our daily spending choices greatly impact our lifestyle, what we can do, where we can go, like catching a game at McHale Center. Make your plan to enjoy the special moments. At Longview Insurance and Investments, we can help you learn how to make smart financial choices for the future, balancing both work and play. Visit our website at www.longviewinsuranceandinvestments.com to learn more. Thank you to our sponsor. Yeah, so we've now hit the trifecta of losses.
In the preview, I didn't write questions. I really don't feel like it. In the preview, we said, what's the path to victory for both teams? And I said, if Arizona played their game, they would win, and Oregon State would win by slowing down the game, hitting threes, which they don't usually do, and Arizona not just defending, basically.
I think you're
Jordan, called it, Jordan Pope going off.
You called it ass defense.
Look, I mean, there's no way you can sometimes sugarcoat a loss. Washington State was a bad loss. Stanford, I thought, played out of its mind. I understand Oregon State shot the ball well and hit contested threes. But there was just so much wrong
That Arizona did
in this game. That, and this is not one of those throw your hands up type of games. It's just not. It's Arizona got beat because it didn't play as well as Oregon State. This is probably Arizona's first awful loss. This is the type of loss that causes you a seed line. Arizona's one of its last five, I believe, or one of its last six. I think one in five in the last six. Outside the state of Arizona.
Yeah, I think it's 1-5.
That is a problem. Winning at McHale is cool, but the NCAA tournament isn't at McHale. Now, it is on a neutral court, and I understand that is different. But a lot of times on the road, it's a matter of routine and focus and all that. And for whatever reason, when Arizona's on the road,
It has zero focus.
It doesn't look the same. You know, they come out of this game, and it looks like they're going to blow Oregon State out. They're absolutely fantastic. They're getting to the line at will. They go to the line 24 times in the, or something like that, in the first 24 minutes, something like that. In the last 14 and a half minutes, they went to the line like twice. The Pella Larson free throws at the end. Like they they weren't aggressive on offense. They just
fizzled.
You know, every team's going to guard Arizona the same way, which is pack it in and dare Arizona to shoot threes, and Arizona can't shoot threes. They're 3 of 14. Every single team is going to guard Arizona the same way. Missing 10 free throws is not good, but at least Arizona's got to the line 31 times, even though that stopped. But again, like, Oregon's going to do the same thing. They're going to play some zone where they pack it in the paint, try to take away the interior and dare Arizona to shoot the three. UCLA did it awful, and Arizona's going to fall for it every time.
Okay. Well, usually when we have questions, it's like, was there anything positive that happened? And then there's a lot of negative.
I think, it's look, winning on the road is hard. Doug Tamorrell, my guy, just tweeted, best record since 2022 in Pac-12. Only three teams in the entire conference have winning records. UCLA 12-6, ASU 10-6, Arizona 9-8. But still, this is a bad loss. Yeah, I mean, I'm not going to, like, I say a lot, winning on the road is hard. You have to be able to beat teams like Oregon State on the road. The game Saturday all of a sudden becomes a situation where if you lose it, you're probably not winning the Pac-12.
Well, and I hate that Arizona's going into the game on Saturday now playing out of desperation. They already...
I think it's good.
Well, I hope it's motivational, but it's like tonight we had Pella get, like, thrown on the ground, and you have a double tech because Kashad comes in and, like, jaws with the other guy, and you think that would be something that would galvanize. No, it didn't.
Well, we said after the UCLA game, I said, you know, hopefully it would galvanize the team, the 19-point comeback. It did not at all.
No.
It looked like it did for the first 10 minutes, but, you know, you start to wonder, and I don't have any inside information on this stuff right now, but you start to wonder if, like, it goes beyond what we're seeing on the basketball court. Like, I've never seen, and then this to me is the issue with Arizona right now is very simple. And I don't want to put it on one guy, so let's just put it on the point guard position. I've never seen a player in a two-month span do what Kylan Boswell has done. He went from, again, the best player on the court against Duke, to a dude who just shouldn't be out there. Now, again, props to Tommy Lloyd for only playing Boswell 23 minutes, but I don't know if that was because he had four fouls. But he's awful. Like, there's no way around it. There's no sugarcoating it. There's no faking it. I had the stat that I tweeted. Boswell was 0-for-8 from the field in the last two losses, Shelby. He's 9-for-44 from the field in the team's five losses.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's insane. And then you look at him on the road, right? 28 minutes a game, 4 points, 2 assists, 2 rebounds, 28% field goal per shooting. Like, that's not even a dude who should be your eighth man, let alone your starting point guard. So Arizona, the last two games, has started Jaden Bradley at the point in the second half, and the start has been poor. They didn't look good at the start of the second half against UCLA, and they didn't look good to start the second half against Oregon State. And he is absolutely a better defender than Boswell, but the offense,
it's not good.
You can't play Bradley and Lewis at the same time. It's just not. It's not good enough. And when Lewis struggles, this team struggles. Lewis had, you know, KJ had 0 points and only took two shots. And there's multiple players that brought it offensively. But how are you going to get 0 points out of your starting point guard when on the other side of the court, Oregon State, their starting point guard is getting 31? I mean, let's even call their shooting guard. Okano had 8 points. Christian Wright had 3 points, and he's not even good. I mean, every single guard on Oregon State scored more than Arizona's starting point guard.
It's astonishing. Like, it's crazy.
And I don't know the answer. I'm not sure the answer is on the roster.
It's not.
You know, we can talk, hey, you know, bench Kylan Boswell, send him a message. Well, is Jaden Bradley that much better? He's absolutely better defensively, but it screws with their lineup. And I think, now my gut is that Arizona's hesitant to bench Kylan because the fact of the matter is, and I'm not talking about the regular season, if Arizona is going to make a run in the tournament, it needs Kylan Boswell. It cannot have a bad Kylan Boswell. And so the kid already struggles mentally. We've brought this up with other podcasts. When a shot's not going in, for whatever reason, he shuts down. And so you got to hope that a shot's going in, or you got to find ways to get him looks or whatever it may be. But this team's not making a run without Boswell. And so if you bench him and you lose him, you're pretty much, I don't want to say you're throwing the season away, but you kind of are. Unless Bradley, you could work on different lineups and things like that. So it's tough. Would I bench him? Yeah, I think you're at, and here's the main reason why.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
I love Tommy. I think I understand people all over him. I get it. He can erase it with a successful NCAA tournament run. The reality is the regular season is fun, but no one cares about regular seasons in college basketball anymore, right? Like, this loss is meaningless if Arizona makes it to the Elite Eight. You know what I mean? Or when it gets out of the first weekend, whatever it is.
Mm-hmm.
Now, does that look likely now? No, absolutely not. That's not my point. But my point is, like, the biggest concern I have for Tommy isn't his schemes or anything else. It just feels, when you're watching Arizona, that they're not afraid of accountability. Like, we've seen Tommy piss, but if Boswell, and I'm not talking Mick Cronin where you make one mistake and you don't play the rest of the game. But if Boswell comes in the game and gives up a layup and then turns the ball over the next possession, you got to pull him. Like, you got to pull him for a little bit. If Umar Ballo is lazy getting back on defense and turns the ball over, lets Obekwe beat him like that, you got to pull him a little bit. Like, you have to show some sort of accountability, or else it's just, you know, it's, these guys are going to continue to play like this. And look, it may not even be that, but it just feels like this team is coasting. And in a world where Tommy Lloyd's teams have been completely unselfish since he got here, this is, to me, by far the most selfish team that Lloyd has had here. I mean, it just is.
I mean, he brought Caleb Love in, and Caleb is not naturally a sharer. Like, he wants to get his stats. They've worked on it, and he has improved, but he is not the person that's going to be able to feed the ball. He's going to shoot the ball.
And the issue is, like, it's hard to blame him at this.
No, and I don't blame him.
Like, does the offense look different when he's in? Yes, it's very oriented towards him, but at the same time, you look at the backcourt, Boswell wants nothing to do with it. Bradley's not a scorer. KJ Lewis is still the freshman, hit or miss. Your guards on Arizona right now, beyond Caleb Love, suck. And I notice, like, people on Twitter, like, saying, oh, Caleb Love has 5 turnovers. I get it. But he's also had 10 free throws. But I think he had 9 at the half, so he only went to the line once. And then he had 23 points on 6 of 12 shooting. You take that every time.
Yeah. I mean, the production turnovers is there. The problem is... I've said it since last year. I'm going to say it again. I said it on Twitter. There is no leader on the floor that is a natural, like, I always say the floor general because that's what I have in mind. There's nobody that's able to do that. And if Tommy's not going to hold the players accountable, in the past we've had point guards or we've had other players that would be able to, like, get the team fired up by getting angry. There's nobody standing there clapping on the sideline saying, guys, this is unacceptable. Let's go. Let's fucking go. There's nobody saying that except all of us at home watching on TV. And I don't know if Tommy just does not like recruiting that person anymore, but there's something to be said for somebody that can be focused at all times and who can get the team together when the moment is hard. When you are starting to lose the lead and you're down, and you got the opposing fans screaming at you and saying you're underrated, you have to dig in deep and you have to be able to produce. And we do not have that person.
And, like, defense, like someone just tweeted, in Arizona's 5 losses, the opposition has shot 47% from behind the arc. That's insane.
That's nuts.
And it's one time is a coincidence. It's a hot thing. That's a pattern. I always look for patterns. That's when I start to get concerned. I don't get concerned by the one-off loss. That never bothers me in basketball. It's the pattern. And the pattern is very clear that Arizona is shit defensively. That's it. That's the pattern. I don't even worry about the offense. I think that that's been fine. Look, Arizona shot 53%. Were there lulls? Yeah, 53% is good enough.
Usually going to take that.
Yeah, you take that every day. But, man, like, that's 47%.
Yeah. It's not, I don't know. I mean, there's people on my feed that are saying Tommy isn't it. I don't know. It's a little bit early to be saying that. I don't, it's year three here, but.
Toby doesn't like Tommy. She's lying.
I've never disliked Tommy. I am a results-oriented person. Year three under Jed Fish, Arizona football had an unprecedented year. Do we like the way that Fish left? No. Is he a snake? Yes. But you can't argue with the results. And Washington wanted those results. Does anybody want Tommy Lloyd after this season if it plays out the way that we think it's going to? Now, they could surprise everyone. We can eat our hat if they wind up getting past the second or third round in the tournament. I mean, please get past the first round. That would be awesome. But like, all of these lessons learned, playing all of those, you know, non-conference games, you know, you got Duke and you're winning against Michigan State. We were there at that game. All of that means nothing if you have this pattern of regression. Kylan Boswell regressing in the last 2 months is on Tommy. I don't know if they need a team psychologist or like the sports person psychologist involved to like get him in a better headspace. And there's, you know, everyone always does the little thing on Twitter where, you know, Boswell's better than Creasa with the little greater sign. But there's one thing that you can say about Kirk Creasa is that he might have disappeared in some games, but he could galvanize. He could get the crowd fired up. He could get his own guys fired up. He actually produced in the game some stat line. And we are seeing zero. And you cannot win games with your point guard producing at zero, and your backups are freshmen and they don't know what they're doing.
I mean, look, I don't come away from this game saying that Arizona only lost because of Kylan Boswell.
No, that's not what we're saying.
The defensive rotations were atrocious. My boy Fry Rice,
I love him,
has a few posts on the board showing video. You've got two guys chasing one screener. Yep. You've got, I mean, there's just no, and that's just all that is literally is communication. All one guy has to do is yell screen. Or my ball, my, like, that's it. That's literally all you have to do, and Arizona's not doing it. And that, to me, goes back to my team chemistry, something up, selfishness. Like, why can't you, like, it's just talking. That's all it is. And a lot of these threes were wide open. The last shot of the game, I just tipped my hat. I mean, people are saying, why didn't they double team? But if you run to a guy coming down court, It's a tough ask.
Like, are you going to foul him? Or
right.
You,
it's
you
know? A tough ask. And the defense there was fine. The dude made a step back.
I mean, it's
back.
Like the ASU game last year.
Yeah, the dude made a step back three. He was unconscious, 31 points. And then I said that I was looking forward to whoever guarded Bilodeau, and he went off. 22 points in 8 of 10 shooting. And he went off against Arizona last year. You know, and that's really it. Like, Ratash had 12, whatever, right? Like, you had a 31 and a 22. You had 53 points from two players.
Mm-hmm.
I thought Pella was fantastic.
I was going to say, I was storming around the house. I was like raging at one point. Like, I feel bad for Pella being surrounded by this team, except for Caleb, who obviously is doing well. But I mean, even Caleb's not great game is better than even Pella's points. But defensive wise, stealing the ball, turning it around, going back down court, getting a bucket. I mean, Pella works his ass off, but he's not the dude.
I think Pella in the last three games has actually played some of the best basketball of his career.
It's been great.
And then you look at Keyshawn and he had 18 points and 6 rebounds and you're like, oh, he played pretty well, but he didn't. His defense was atrocious.
He made that awful mistake with the foul and the three.
Yeah, but he shouldn't have been in that situation guarding a guard anyway.
Yeah, but 3 seconds and he did fall for the shot clock.
But his defense was bad. Umar is Umar. He had 7 and 6. Who knows? But like, you just can't, there's no consistency from guys. Like, even Caleb Love, who shot 6 of 12, which is awesome, could very well shoot 10 of 28 next game. And he'd be like, whatever. There's just not that one guy that you can count on. Like, Oregon State even has Jordan Pope. You know what you're getting from Jordan Pope every single game. Oregon has guys like that. Like, you know what you're getting from Dante. You know what you're getting. And I don't know. I guess Caleb Love is that guy. But, like,
it's inconsistent.
It's just, like, Ballo's inconsistent. Keyshawn could score 20 or 4. We don't know.
And Pella has played lights out the last three games, but he has focus issues occasionally. And like on the games when he disappears, he has focus issues in the game where he'll be on at 100% and all of a sudden he disappears He has a turnover. He makes mistakes. So, I mean, you can't say necessarily Pella's the person either. It's just, it's frustrating. And some of it is coaching. I mean, like, going back to Tommy, I'm not impressed. And it's starting to become a pattern. I don't know what the answer is, but I was anxious when our other podcast, when it's like, oh, Arizona's favored by 18 points. I am not falling for that trap anymore.
Yeah, I would say this. It is very clearly at this point, because of Arizona and how they've done on the road, it's a legit upset to me if they beat Oregon on Saturday. I really think so. Oregon's been playing very good basketball. They're very good at home. That place is going to be rocking. This is it for Arizona in terms of the regular season, in my opinion. And yeah. I know there's a lot of games left, but this is the game where you either want to go out and lose another effing road game and get punked, because Oregon can punk Arizona.
Oh, yeah.
If Arizona does not come to play, Oregon will beat them by 20 points.
And that's what really bothers me with this team this year in general is, like, if you're a ranked team and you know you have a target on your back, like, you have to have the motivation to come out and be the dog and, like, dominate. And Arizona has really not had many games this season where they showed that color. And yet you have teams that, like, they're selling out their stadiums when they play, or in the stadium, when their arenas when they play Arizona. And they are motivated, and it's like they suck on paper, because Oregon State, on paper, not a great team. And yet they have players that want to come out and play their guts out. And Pope having that, you know, lights out day. Like, Arizona should not have allowed him to have 31 points. And, I mean, some of those shots were astronomical. There's nothing that anyone could have done. I mean, Arizona did have their hand in his face for quite a few of those threes that he had. But, and even Bilodeau, that, and that stupid French name. But it's frustrating that there's no grit. There is no true grit anymore. There's no true grit from the coach. There's no true grit from the players. And, like, the only time they get it is from the fans at McHale. It's manufactured because they get the energy. It's not, it's completely wrong. It's not a normal Arizona team this year. And we all fell for it at the beginning of the year because obviously they beat Duke on the road. They went in and beat Michigan State. They had all these other games that, you know, that were successful. But it's something's wrong. It's just weird. I don't know.
And we got to find out sooner than later.
Yep, we're going to find out.
I mean, we'll preview the Oregon game before we get into that. But it really is, to me, it's the crossroads time. If Arizona gets blown out against Oregon, that's not the response that you want to see.
Mm-mm.
If Arizona beats Oregon, you can live with today. I always say it's the next game. This sucks. It's a dog shit loss. It is a horrible loss.
And it's going to come back to haunt
not
them.
Not downplaying this loss at all.
Right.
I want to be very clear. But if Arizona beats Oregon, it's a little easier to swallow, right?
Mm-hmm.
So if Arizona gets swept, now you're like, you know, Arizona still has to go on the mountain trip, still has to go to ASU, still has to go to the LA schools.
Yep, still a long couple months here.
You can make a very easy case that the conference is on the line. If you want Arizona to win the Pac-12, if that means something to you, some people don't.
Regular season? Well, I mean, you know how Lute Olson always felt about, like, having the conference.
Yeah, but
the championship right after the regular season. Do you want to win the regular season, or do you want to win the
Pac-12 championship? The reality is Arizona won the Pac-12 championship last year, and no one gives a shit when they lost. Like, no one cares. It's hard. It's easy to get disappointed and losses, but the perspective is, look, maybe this wakes Arizona up. Maybe it doesn't. And if you have no confidence that it doesn't, I completely get it. But if it does, then, you know, you look towards March. But there's just no sugarcoating one. And usually you can kind of explain it. This team got hot, whatever. And I get it that there's still some people that are like, hey, Oregon State made a lot of shots it doesn't normally make. But to me,
no,
it doesn't matter. I mean, there are very clear issues on this team. I'm not sure they could get fixed. It's up to Tommy Lloyd to find a way to fix them or at least minimize their impact. And we'll see what happens.
Yeah. So tough day to back the A, as Michael Luke would say. Oh my God, I rhymed so well right there.
That was hot fire.
It was hot fire. I'll start working on my album next. But until we speak again, which is going to be like probably tomorrow for
12 hours from now,
preview podcast for the Oregon game. No matter where you are, no matter what you do, no matter how disappointed you are by this team at the moment, you can always bear down.
Real quick, my dad had the procedure on his heart. I tweeted about it. A lot of people reached out, just wanted to thank everyone. He's home comfortably. We'll see how it goes from here. But
thank you.
So far, so good.
So far, so good.
It only takes 2 minutes of sheer horror.
A new Paramount Plus original docuseries.
We were dealing with a serial killer preying on elderly women.
A cold-blooded killer hidden in plain sight.
He was suffocating people with pillows.
Leaving corpses all over Texas.
How did it happen?
I was responsible for her. The guilt is immeasurable.
They covered it up.
Pillowcase Murders, now streaming exclusively on Paramount Plus.